Today is the 23rd of December, 2013, and it's a Monday evening. We did not do our Sunday evening worship service, so we're doing it tonight. Do we have a selection?
nor wicked hand detain. Fair evildoers fall, pressed hell, they cannot rise again.
Page 46.
been selected. This will be our last song before we go over to the next part of our service.
It's good to thank the Lord, to praise your name most high, to show your love and on your faithfulness, O light. The tears streamed are, with sweet voice lift and rambling heart, your praises fire. Your knees, Lord, make me glad. How joy in what you've done. How great your doings, Lord. How deep your thoughts, each one. Rules won't be shown. The stupid can accept this truth to him alone. The sinners grow like weeds, till bitterers blossom they. They're doomed to be destroyed, the Lord exalt his day. For your foes fall, see how your foes fade, and move it or scatter at all. He raised like off my horn, poured fresh oil on my head. You made me see the spies and hear what fathers said. Like driving ball, the righteous grows like cedar, tall and Lebanon. Those planted by the Lord shall in God's course be seen. When old, they'll still bear fruit and flourish fresh and green. And loud proclaim, how upright is the Lord, my rock, the wrong in him.
Dear Lord, we pray that you be with us tonight in this service. We pray that your word would be lifted up and your name would be glorified. We pray in Christ's name. Saul, who consented to the death of Stephen, now was being persecuted by the same people that had given him accolades before. And, of course, we know that he also got accused by a lot of people for taking his message to the Gentiles. They didn't like it. In fact, Peter came against him at one time because Peter was trying to bring back in circumcision. But Paul was strong in giving his defense as to why he went and preached to the Gentiles. And so Peter followed in his steps, didn't he? In fact, Peter was given a mandate to go to the Gentiles as well. A lot of people said, well, Paul's message was primarily to the Jews. Well, he did have a message to the Jews. Peter had a message to the Gentiles, but they both preached to both Jew and Gentile. But Paul was suffered a lot of persecution at the hands of both Gentiles and Jews. But we realize that God was in the matter. In fact, God told Paul beforehand that he would suffer much for the name of Christ. At the time of his conversion, he told him that. Paul, it's amazing how that he survived. I mean, how many people survived stoning? I mean, they thought Paul was dead, you know. And they tried to kill him numerous times, just like they tried to kill Christ numerous times, but finally they did kill Christ. And of course, Paul taught a gospel that many people rejected, and many people reject today. I mean, there's been a lot of people that, you know, hazarded their life for the name of Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul was definitely persecuted for his faith. And I'm sure that there was times when Paul must have asked himself the question, why me? Why am I the one that's had to go through all of this suffering and persecution? Why have my own people rejected me? Even though Paul did have fellowship with a number of Christians, he was persecuted by an awful lot of people. And, of course, why am I going through this? Well, sometimes I think Christians go through the same kind of mental torture that Paul went through, at least. Maybe not physically, but they probably ask themselves the same kind of questions I know I have. A lot of people don't understand what goes on in the minds of Christians when they're trying to do what is right, and they're trying to stand up for what is right, and yet the people around them want to come against and they want to think that they are just making trouble. And they're just causing trouble just for the sake of causing trouble. Well, one of the things we have to realize is that we are told in the Bible that if we're in Christ, we're going to suffer persecution. And that is not talked a lot about today, is it? Most people today are thinking about convenience and ease and living in the as luxurious as possible. And they're not thinking about persecuting. And Paul had to remind people that he had been persecuting people before his persecution, before his conversion. And how many times did he give the recount of his conversion several times in his messages? How that he persecuted the Christians even unto death, binding and delivering them into prisons, both men and women. And you know, I've often asked myself the question prior to my understanding the gospel. I didn't really know that many people that believed the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible. I knew a lot of people that subscribed to parts of the Bible, but I didn't know that many people that subscribed to all of it. I still don't today. I know a lot of people that subscribe to the whole Bible. There's so many people that take the Bible just by bits and pieces. And you know, I know that I've often wondered why God waited as long as he did to reveal the truth of the Bible to me. God has his reasons for everything that happens in our lives. And and I'm sure Paul probably asked the same question. Why did God allow me to go through persecuting all these people before he converted me? Why didn't he make the gospel, make me aware of the gospel in my early life, and I could have had a lot longer ministry? But that wasn't God's plan. And I know a lot of people have probably asked the question, why has God postponed his Christ coming for so long? Why hasn't he already come back? Why has he allowed so much suffering in the world? Well, you know, we don't understand these things. Sometimes we have to scratch our head and say, well, I don't understand the will of God in this, but God is sovereign in all of it, and we must rest in his divine providence. You know, and the ending of Paul's life was, you know, actually he lived in a rented house for 2 years. He didn't own his property. Down to the very end of his life, he rented it. He dwelt it says here, he dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That was in a rental house that he did that. Not in a big church. Paul preached in a house. In a rental house. And it's quite a contrast to today. And of course, there's a lot of things that Paul did that a lot of people didn't like. A lot of people don't like Paul today. And they'll attack Paul even today, even though he's dead and gone. They'll say, you know, God called me in the ministry. Paul didn't call me in the ministry. That's what women will say. They'll say things like, you know, that was then, this is now. They'll say things like, you've got to be culturally relevant, right? But Paul was not culturally relevant, even in his day. He was far from being culturally relevant. And he was persecuted because of his cultural non-relevancy. And so that should give us comfort when we look at our lives and we say, well, why is it that so many people have rejected us? You know? Well, because we are not culturally relevant today. And of course, one of the things that we've talked about before is the fact that not only the Roman Catholic Church, but the Masonic Lodge, as well as most of higher education, has endorsed and upheld the free will of man. And Paul did not uphold the free will of man. Paul said, it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Of course, a lot of people get very upset when you start denouncing the fact that man does not have a free will. They don't want to accept that fact. Now, when Paul came down to the end of his life, he left a exhortation to Timothy, and he, in that part of that exhortation or his charge to Timothy, he said, I am now ready to be offered in the time of my departure, and I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. That, I hope, will be our parting words as we leave this life. We have kept the faith. The only way we're going to keep the faith is if God preserves us in the faith. Well, he says, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to him be glory forever. Now, earlier than that admonition, Timothy, Paul said to Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then just a few verses before that, he said, Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, the reason I'm going through this the way I am is that we have to realize that if we're taking a stand for what is right, we are going to have to go through some things. And it's not, doesn't necessarily feel very good. It's not easy to go against the flow. It's a lot harder to row upstream against the current than to just get in the boat and float downstream. Now, I was thinking today, listening to all the Christmas music on there and these Christmas programs and this, everybody wishing everybody a Merry Christmas, all of the different things around the Christmas season. And the thought came to me just a little bit ago, what would Paul have said during this time if he were down here seeing all of this goings on around the Christmas season? What would Paul have said about it? And even better than that, what would Christ say about it? Christ was down here today. Would he endorse it? Jesus Christ go to a Christmas pageant? Would he go to a candlelight vigil? Candlelight Christmas Eve candlelights community service? Would Paul have participated in these dramas? Would Paul have participated in going out caroling? Would Paul have participated in legislating the right for Christians to put up manger scenes in public places? Would Paul have participated in mixing the perverse, like, you know, putting Santa Claus next to a manger scene just so you can put up a manger scene? Paul okayed to do a Christmas pageant as long as you sang two or three secular songs and you could sing some religious songs along with it. That's just one area that we can talk about, is that people say, well, Larry, aren't you really just talking about works? So, but no, I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about the life of Paul and how that he took a stand, and because he took a stand for truth, he was persecuted, he was stoned, he was whipped, he was chased down, he was led over a wall in a basket, he was ridiculed, mocked, and I think there are not an awful lot of Apostle Pauls today. I don't see a lot of them out there, because what I see today is most people who say they are Christian want the acceptance of everybody. They don't want just the acceptance of their church. They want the acceptance of other churches and other denominations and other religions and other cultures and other groups of people. They want the acceptance of everybody. Paul did not have the acceptance of a lot of people. He was rejected by a lot of people. So tonight, I think what we have to remind ourselves is that we're living in a lot more perilous time than even Paul was living in. You know, even though Paul had a lot of problems with the Corinth church and so on, I mean, if we compare today with the time that Paul was living in, it seems as though we are in a lot more wicked times than Paul was living in. It says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until Noah entered into the ark. Well, I was thinking about how that Paul took such a strong stand against divorce and remarriage. And yet today, if anybody even voices anything about divorce and remarriage, they are considered to be unloving, intolerant, and judgmental. Paul took a very strong stand against homosexuality. Now, today, if anybody registers anything against homosexuality, they are considered to be gay bashing, homophobic, and it's considered to be hate speech. Paul took a very strong stand against women speaking in the churches. Today, if you even mention that, you're considered to be a bigot, a woman hater, and a person who is just intolerant of women. Paul took a very strong stand against men who wear long hair. Today, if you say anything against people wearing long hair, you're considered to be a redneck. You're considered to be not culturally relevant. And you're also considered to be narrow-minded. Paul took a very strong stand against idols in the church. Preached against idolatry, and today if you take a stand against idols in the church, whether it's crosses, steeples, manger scenes, or whatever, you're considered to be way out there. Who do you think you are anyway, God? Paul took a very strong stand against immodesty, immodest dress, nakedness. Today, if you say anything about, even mention anything about the way a man or a woman is dressed immodestly, you're considered to be judging them. You're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to say anything. Paul spent a lot of time talking about and coming against nakedness and immodest dress. Paul took a very strong stand against the wrong way of demonstrating the gifts. Today, if you take a stand against tongue speaking in an improper way, in an unbiblical way, you're considered to be intolerant, unloving of tongue speakers. Paul spoke out very strongly against the improper uses of gifts in the church. Paul took a very strong stand against a lot of things that people today just consider to be normal, routine kind of things. What if Paul were down here today and saw the way that women and men dress? What if Paul were down here today and saw that people were ordaining homosexuals and women into the ministry? What if Paul were down here today and he saw the idolatry in the churches? What if Paul were down here today and he saw the men going around in ponytails and braids and mohawks? What if Paul were down here today, what would he say about the ecumenical movement, how that all churches get together? And even what would Paul say about this whole exalting the Roman Catholic Church and Pope Francis, and how Pope Francis has now said it's okay to be gay? What would Paul say about it? I think Paul would say the same thing I've said about it in my messages. That's why I've said it, because I believe that Paul preached against these things. And when I start preaching against it, guess what's going to happen? You know, figuratively speaking, I'm going to get rotten tomatoes thrown at me because people don't want to hear it. And so, I guess, if I don't like rotten tomatoes thrown at me, I better quit preaching it. I don't enjoy the rotten tomatoes being thrown at me, figuratively speaking. I'm sure that Paul didn't enjoy being stoned either. So anyway, people say, oh, you're just trying to make yourself out a victim. Or you're just trying to make yourself out as being persecuted. Try and exalt yourself. No, I'm not. I'm not. If I say one thing, I was listening today to a Christian, supposedly, and I use that word very broadly, BCY America, crosstalk. All these people were calling in, giving their testimonies, and wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. How that they seemed so sincere in their testimony, what Christ had done for them. Yet, so many of them said things that were not even in the Bible as a part of their testimony. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ, I don't know how many times I said, I'm so glad that Jesus Christ came to this world to make it possible for everyone to be saved. God loves everybody. Paul didn't preach that. And Jesus didn't preach that. Peter didn't preach that. John didn't preach that. You know? But yet the people that called in on BCY America Crosstalk were all preaching that. Where do you think they got that from? They didn't get it from the Bible. They got it from the programming that they've been receiving in their church. God loves everybody, and He made it possible for all men to decide whether they wanted Jesus or not. Decisionism, not election, not predestination. Another thing Paul taught, isn't it? Paul taught was a very strong predestinarian. He taught chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. But yet, if you start talking today about election or predestination, you better be ready to be, you know, ran out on a rail. People don't want to hear it, because people want to believe that they've made their own choices, their own decisions, and they're in charge of their own destiny. And to think that the destiny of a human being is in the hands of God is considered to be foolhardy by these people who are promoting humanism. Like Albert Pike in his book, he promotes that people are in charge of their own destiny. And I heard a guy today who is supposed to be a Christian, make the statement that our government, our United States, was founded on the whole principle of determining our own destiny. Yes, that's what he said. That's what our whole nation was founded upon, is us determining our own destiny. Not God determining our destiny. Not God being in charge of the bounds of our habitation, but man being in charge of our destiny. Now what about the passage that says, I will not share my glory with another? Is that what they're doing? That they're sharing their glory with another? By saying that our destiny is in the hands of ourselves? The pursuit of happiness, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That sounds like what Satan said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So let us think on these things, and when we've seen that we are coming against the tide and everything that we stand for is convoluted up against what society is doing, then maybe we're doing something right. You know, I was thinking today, as all these people were calling in on this crosstalk program, and they were, I was thinking about the majority of society 2 days from now are going to be exchanging gifts. And they're going to probably, you know, some of them are going to read the second chapter of Luke. And they're going to, you know, feel good about this birthday party that they're having for Jesus. Even people that are not Christian, still celebrate Christmas. Why do some of the people that are not even Christian celebrate Christmas? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I know people who are Jews. I mean, Mark Levin is a radio talk show host who's Jew, but he plays Christmas music. Well, what's up with that? Michael Savage. The people that are not even Christian are all out here celebrating Christmas. Okay? And I heard a guy today say that Christmas, you know, Christ is in the Mass, isn't he? Christ is on the cross, too. Well, the Catholics have him on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's no longer on the cross. He's seated in heaven. He's victorious. Come up out of the grave. How many times do you hear a Roman Catholic talk about the resurrection? And Paul, that's another thing Paul talked a lot about, was the resurrection. So let's just continue on. Let us be ready to be mocked and ridiculed. Start preaching Pauline doctrine and start preaching Christology, doctrine of Christ. Let's just be ready to be mocked. And as things become more and more watered down, and as the scriptures are more and more changed, these new versions and new translations, where you won't even, in another 5 years, I predict you won't even be able to recognize what people are talking about. It'll be so convoluted. They will run to and fro and search for the Word of God and won't be able to find it. But we're still worshiping here in this little house church, proclaiming the same thing that Paul and Jesus Christ and the apostles proclaim. Do we have a selection? Number 476. 476. Then I have one after that one. All right. In the valley of affliction, often dark may seem the day, but there's one who in our trials ne'er forsakes us by the way. Oh, the joy of thy salvation, we from sin and sorrow free, we shall sing the song of glory to the Lamb of Calvary. 'Tis by grace that here we know him, wretched sinners though we be, for 'twas he who in his body bore our sins upon the tree. Then his spirit softly whispers, out from death he set us free, bringing hope that he on Calvary gave his blood for you and me. In the presence of our Father, in the shining courts of God, he is making intercession while we through this journey plod. When the mighty hosts of heaven, armies of the glory land, out of every tongue and nation, gather jewels to the Lamb. Oh, the joy of thy salvation, we're from sin and sorrow free. We shall sing the song of glory, praising all eternity. 474. Troubles here below often bring us woe. Jesus is a friend always. Seek his gracious love, pray to him above. Jesus is a friend always. Jesus is a friend always. Jesus is a friend always. We will be with you, trust in him anew. Jesus is a friend always. As the minutes fly, as the years go by, Jesus is a friend always. Loved ones there abide on the other side, Jesus is a friend always. When the trumpet sounds and we all arise, Jesus is a friend always. Then our wings will fly to that world on high, Jesus is a friend always. Jesus is a friend always. Jesus is a friend always. He will be with you, trust in him anew. Jesus is a friend always.
And Lord, thank you for the grace you have shown us in our lives. We pray to you, amen.
Dear Lord, help us not to waver in the midst of all of these voices that are coming against your word, we pray. Help us to be strong in you. Christ's name.